My dear friends, I'm sure at some point in life we've all wondered and asked the question, why are there so much evil, suffering and despair in our world? And we perhaps have also asked the question, why are men so capable of evil and causing suffering and despair? And we may also ask, what is the source of evil? And what is the consequence of evil? And what is the solution to evil? Every day, we are inundated with news of hunger, natural disasters, wars, threats of nuclear wars, terrorism, mass shootings, murder, greed, scams, suicide, and even genocide. We need to acknowledge that we are living in a time where the world, our world, is imperfect and is filled with much evil, suffering and despair. Humanitarian organizations estimate that one person dies of hunger every 4 seconds. And that works out to about 21,600 people per day. That's substantial. And do you know that Singaporeans generate 2,000 tons of food waste each day? In fact, whatever we waste is more than enough to feed those who are hungry. And let's not forget about COVID-19. 6.8 million people have died of COVID-19 since the pandemic started in 2020. And Straits Times reported that $77.2 billion were lost to scammers in the year 2021 alone. And behind the scams are heartbreaking stories of victims who have lost their saving, their life saving, their career, their family, and even their precious life. You will recall that recently there was a story of a young NS boy who took his own life when he became the victim of a scam. What I have just shared with you are just a small glimpse of the evil that is transcending and taking place in our world today. But do you know that it was not meant to be so in the beginning? That's recorded in the scripture from Genesis chapter 1 and 2. God's original intention at creation was for men to live in peace with one another, to love one another, and to enjoy God's creation. And God created the world with the intention for men to flourish in our work. And God created the garden for men to live joyfully in the presence of God, to worship Him and to have fellowship with God. And man was created at the beginning to live forever, where there was no sickness, no pain, no suffering, and no death. All that changed when man chose to disobey God. The Bible tells us that sin first entered into the world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3. Despite being commanded by God not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Satan tempted Eve to eat from the tree, telling her that the fruit would make her like God. Eve was deceived. She ate and she gave the fruit to Adam. He too ate. And instead of resisting temptation, man chose to disobey God. This act of disobedience brought sin into God's creation. This eating of the fruit in God's garden reflects man's desire to live in disregard of God's rule, and it reflects man's capability of sinning against God and doing what is evil in the eyes of God. Remember the times when our parents warned us not to touch the things in the kitchen or to do certain things? What do? We deliberately go against instruction of our parents. And what happened? You know, there was a group of BB boys here yesterday at 4 p.m. service. When asked the question, the boy shouted, "Mother scold." I remember when I was young, I disregarded my mom's instruction, and then for one whole week, I was walking around with this huge blister on my thumb. When we disregard God, And I'm sure we recall those moments, things that we have done, the stupid things that we have done, and we know we have disregarded rules, we have broken the laws. And then when we look back, we wonder to ourselves, how come I'm capable of such terrible things? The author Paul pointed us to the source of evil or sin. Verse 12, Paul said, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, verse 14, the transgression of Adam, verse 15, many died through one man's trespass, verse 16, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, verse 17, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Verse 18, one trespass led to the condemnation for all men. Verse 19, for just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. The one man. And Paul was referring to Adam, the first man in creation. Adam's disobedience symbolizes the fallen nature of mankind, and his disobedience brought condemnation to the human race. As a result of Adam's disobedience, Romans 5 tells us that every one of us sinned against God. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. What that means is every human race being born after Adam inherits the curse of sin. All have sinned. This is a theological concept that many non-Christians and Christians have found difficult to accept. People have raised objection to this idea of all have sinned, referring to Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. They believe that people should never be labeled as sinful or as sinner unless and until they are proven guilty. Once a young lawyer who was a young believer at that time, when he shared his concern with me, he said, Pastor, I feel extremely conflicted in me. I cannot bring myself to tell my non-Christian friends that they have sinned against God. What about you? How will you respond to this young lawyer? And how will you respond to the people who have not given their lives to our Lord Jesus Christ? And perhaps you are hearing this for the first time today, and maybe you too are struggling with the thought and idea that you are born a sinner. You see, as the covenant head of the human race, Adam represents all mankind. And because of his sin, all humanity has been plunged along with him into guilt and condemnation. Adam's sin was imputed unto all men. When he fell, we fell. When he was condemned, we too were being condemned together with him. It was for this reason that the wrath of God fell upon mankind. And this is why Paul said in Romans 5:12, Adam alone sinned, and yet God's wrath fell upon all human race. Now, there is a price to pay when men sin against God. And the consequence of evil or sin is death. Paul tells us, verse 12, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 14, yet death reigned. Verse 15, many died through one man's trespass. Verse 17, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Verse 21, sin reigned in death. As a result of Adam's fall, God in Genesis 3 pronounced the judgment of death on man. Firstly, man was subjected to physical death. Genesis 3:19, after the fall, God said to Adam, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Adam, man, was condemned to die physically. And while we have come to terms that we will all die one day, but for most of us, we still have not fully comprehend death and overcome the fear of death. While physical death awaits each one of us, we need to bear in mind that it was not meant to be so in the beginning. Secondly, man was subjected to spiritual death. In Genesis 3, 22-24, God said, "Behold, man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hands and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He, God, drove out the man. And hence, man was separated from God eternally and was condemned to die spiritually. What is going through your mind right now in regards to the judgment of God? Maybe some of us, we are thinking, why is God so petty? Why is God so unreasonable? And maybe some of us, we are asking, could he not accept us for who we are, evil as we might be, scheming, uncaring, unloving, and maybe we are living a corrupted life? These questions require us to understand God's character and what his judgment is meant to accomplish. God is the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. God is a holy, righteous, and just God. He hates sin because sin corrupts his creation and sin corrupts his relationship with us. Sin separates us from God. Sin stands for everything that is contrary to God, and it will be wrong for God, the righteous judge, to ignore sin. So imagine with me, all of you here, you are a judge, you are presiding over the court, and instead of enforcing the law, you decided to ignore all the crimes committed by the murderers, the criminals, and you allowed them to all go free. What will be the outcome? Yesterday, one of the boys shouted, "Genocide!" What will be the outcome? We will end up with more criminals. We will end up with more crimes because there's no law and order. Now imagine with me again. What if God were to ignore the sin of all mankind? We will end up with more sin and we will end up with more evil because there's no more order in heaven and on earth. Now let me say a little bit about separation from God. This is a topic that most people do not give much thought about because we have the idea that so what if we are separated from our Creator God? Now we need to know that throughout history, regardless of our culture, our race, our religious backgrounds, we have always this question in our mind about the existence of God. Deep in our hearts, we know there must be someone greater, a greater being than ourselves. You know what? When God created us, he has put in us a spiritual inclination. He has given us a desire for God, for him. And regardless of how much or how little that may be expressed, and regardless of our understanding in the past or what we believe or what we have worshipped, even if you're a non-believer, or the kind of spiritual experiences that you seek, God has put in us a quest for the true and living God. The question is, do we know who we truly worship? The Bible tells us there is a much greater and infinite being who exists in our midst, and he is the true and living God. And he's none other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. And he's the one who have created us. He's the one who have created every beings on earth. And he's the one who has established his sovereign dominion over heaven and on earth. And we need to know that Jesus is our only hope to overcome sin, to overcome evil, to overcome suffering and despair in life. God did not leave us in our sin and rebellion. God has a plan to redeem us. It's a salvation plan to save us, to bring us back into fellowship with God. Jesus Christ is God's solution to evil and sin. From verses 15 to 19, Paul makes this contrast between Adam and Jesus to show us God's solution to evil. Verse 15, for the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, referring to Adam, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, referring to Adam, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification, referring to our Lord Jesus. Verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man again, referring to Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore as one trespass, referring to Adam, led to the condemnation for all men, so the one act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all men. So the righteous act of our Lord Jesus Christ led to the justification and life for all men. Verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience, again referring to Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Because of the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, who went on a cross to die for our sins, because of his obedience to the Father, we were made righteous. So just as sin and death came into the world through Adam, eternal life and salvation came through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's solution to sin was for him to sacrifice his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, for the penalty for all the sins that we have committed. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. My friends, we need to take God's salvation plan to heart. He gave us his one and only Son, who is without sin, to pay the penalty for our sins so that we may be reconciled back to God our Father. As a result, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous by God. What does that mean? To be declared righteous is to be set free once and for all from sin, so that we are declared that we are without sin, and to be allowed to fellowship and to worship God once again. And to be declared righteous is also a process where God brings about a transformation, a change in our lives through his Holy Spirit and through his Word. And as a result, we are promised that as we follow Christ, we will receive eternal life. And eternal life is where we will be eventually with God in heaven after the day we pass on from this earth. Heaven is a place where we will be worshipping God with a renewed body, where there will be no more evil, no more suffering, no more despair, no more sickness, no more pain, and no more death. And Paul makes it clear in verses 20 and 21 that salvation, this salvation plan by God, is his grace alone. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's grace is the unmerited favor of God. And even though we are undeserving and despite our sin and rebellion, God's grace is extended to us. Nothing that we do will ever earn salvation for ourselves. Salvation is purely by the grace of God. Salvation is a gift that God has given freely to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, let me conclude. The three important lessons to take away. First, we need to recognize the impact that sin brought to our lives. Sin corrupts us, and we cannot save ourselves from the consequence of sin, which is death. And we need to realize that God has given us a Savior. Only Jesus can redeem us and bring us back into a right relationship with God. We must trust in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because He died on the cross for our sins and because of His resurrection, we have a new life in Christ Jesus. Lastly, we must not take God's grace for granted. I want to encourage us, my dear friends, as believers. Some of us, we may have been Christians for many years. Some of us are young believers. We need to realize that, you know, we are living in a time where we have been just enjoying the grace of God, and we must not take that for granted, for we do not know when He will return. So how do we receive this gift of salvation? We need to believe. Jesus tells us in John 3:16, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Paul in Romans 10:13 tells us that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call out to Jesus to save us from evil, from sin, from suffering, from despair. Let us pray. And Father, we thank You. We thank You for what You have done by sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to set us free and to redeem us. We confess that, Lord, so often we have taken Your grace for granted. And we confess that so often we have continued our wickedness and to live in sin. And today we want to turn back to You. Forgive us, Lord, we pray and we ask that You will set us apart, You will renew us, and help us, Lord, we pray, as You pour out Your Holy Spirit in us, bring that transformation in our lives, that we may become disciples who are passionately committed to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.